भगवतः समलंकृतांगी श्रीन् अत्यरोच उपलभ्य ततो विभूतिम् लोकान् समां व्यसृजद् उत्स्मयतिं तदन्ते महादयः. Demigods such as Lord Brahma, Bahutitham, for many days, Yat of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Apanga Moksha, glance of grace, Kamaha, being desirous of, Tapaha, penances, Samacharan, executing Bhagavat unto the personality of God. Prapannaha, surrendered. Sa, she, the goddess of fortune. Shihi, Lakshmiji. Savasam, her own abode. Aravindavanam, the forest of lotus flowers. Vihaya, leaving aside. Yat, whose? Pada, feet. Sobhagam, all blissful. Alam, without hesitation. Bhajate, worships. Anurakta, being attached. Tasya, him. Sorry, his. Aham, myself. Abja, lotus flower. Kulisha, thunderbolt. Ankusha, rod for driving elephants. Ketu, flag. Ketahi, impressions. Srimat, the owner of all opulence. Padai, by the soles of the feet. Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead. Samalankrita Angi, one whose body is so decorated. Trin, three. Ati, superseding. Aroche, beautifully decorated. Upalabhya, having obtained. Tataha, thereafter. Vibhutim, specific powers. Lokan, planetary systems. Sa, he. Mam, me. Yasrijat, gave up. Usmayatim, while feeling proud. Tatante, at the end. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by demigods like Brahma, and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the personality of Godhead, gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems by being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod, and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The beauty and opulence of the world can be enhanced by the grace of the Lord and not by any man-made planet. When the Lord Sri Krishna was present on this earth, the impressions of the special signs of his lotus feet were stamped on the dust. And as a result of this specific grace, the whole earth was made as perfect as possible. In In other words, the rivers, the seas, the forests, the hills, and the mines, which are supplying agents for the necessities of men and animals, were fully discharging their respective duties. Therefore, the riches of the world surpassed all the riches of all other planets in the three planetary systems of the universe. One should therefore ask that the grace of the Lord always be present on earth, so that we may be favored with His causeless mercy and be happy having all necessities of life. One may ask how we can attain the Supreme Lord on this earth. After His mission is fulfilled and He has left this earth for His own abode. The answer is that there is no need to detain the Lord. The Lord, being omnipresent, can be present with us if we want Him at all. By His omnipresence, He can always be with us if we are attached to His devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. There is nothing in the world with which the Lord is disconnected. The only thing we must learn is to excavate the source of connection and thus be linked with Him by offenseless service. We can be connected with Him by the transcendental sound representation of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are identical, and one who chants the holy name of the Lord in an offenseless manner can at once realize that the Lord is present before him. Even by the vibration of radio sound, we can partially realize sound relativity, and by resounding the sound of transcendence, we can verily feel the presence of the Lord. In this age when everything is polluted by the contamination of Kali, it is instructed in the scriptures and preached by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can at once be free from contamination and gradually rise to the status of transcendence and go back to Godhead. The offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord Himself, and the movement of pure devotees of the Lord all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Only by the propagation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can we be immune from all effects of the age of Kali. Narayanam namaskrityam daram chayvana vattamam devim sarasvatim yasam kuto jayana dhirayam nashta prayashro bhadreshityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki namo mishnu gulayam krishna vishnayam kadarashi matetumam krishna vishnayam. So read the translation again. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by demigods like Brahma, and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the personality of Godhead, gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems, by being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod, and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. This world is actually auspicious without its being connected with the Lord. Someone might say, everything in this world has its connection with the Lord. Nothing really exists without a connection with Him. Janmadhyastha-jataha. That the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. So whether it is the material world or it's the spiritual world or it's the holy name or it's the material ingredients or the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the demigods, anything that you see, perceive of, knowledge, ignorance, everything is coming from the Lord. Someone asked once Srila Prabhupada this question. Have you seen God? This question was variously answered by Srila Prabhupada in different contexts. And one of the times he answered like this. He said, yes, I see Him all the time. At another time he answered like this, that if I tell you, yes, that I have seen Him, how will you know? How will you know that I have seen Him? Unless you do what I do, and you become qualified to see Him, how is it that you are asking to see God? Even an ordinary prime minister cannot be seen so easily. You are talking about the Supreme Lord. So it is a great good fortune of someone if he can see Krishna in everything in this world. And Krishna gives many clues in the Bhagavad Gita how we can do that. So Amam Sukhante Ravasmi Sasasuri. I am the taste of water. I am the actual light of the sun and the moon. Aham sarvasya prabhava mattam sarvam pravartate. So anything that we see, anything that we do, anything that we even think of, can very easily be connected with Krishna, provided only one thing, that we are not covered over, that our eyes are not covered. When our eyes are covered with the darkness of ignorance, then we cannot see. It may be right in front of us, and we will not be able to see. Just like, you know, some time ago I was watching this documentary of the different creatures of the world. Very famous person, David Attenborough. And he is an absolute atheist. He sees everything, all nature. He knows how intricately everything is connected. He has researched all forms of life throughout the planet, more or less, if I can say that. But he still cannot come to the conclusion that there is a Supreme Lord. See how strong Maya is. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is mentioning this kind of person. He is called Mayaya Aparita Jnana Asuram Bhavamasuta. In order to see the Lord, you need some Sukriti. You need some piety. Those who do not have any piety, namam duskriti na mudha prapadyante namah narada maya aparita jnanam asrim bhavam asrita. They cannot accept the Lord. They will accept every other reason for why the world exists, including Darwin's theory or any other. But they will not be able to accept that there is a Supreme Lord. So, in order to begin to see Krishna, what to have his grace that he is coming on this earth, he is walking on the surface of Vrindavan, leaving imprints of his feet, his lotus feet everywhere. And a special meditation of the residents of Vrindavan was that wherever they see his lotus feet imprints, they not step on. So much love and respect. What is this a sign of? This is a sign of when there is intense love, there is actually no question of offense. When we have intense love for Krishna, there is no question of offense. Krishna does not consider it an offense. So, the imprints of the Lord makes everything auspicious. The earth herself felt very fortunate that the Lord is traversing on me, and everything is auspicious. There are many examples in the scriptures which illustrate that when something is connected to Krishna and its connection is acknowledged, then everything becomes auspicious. And if something is connected to Krishna and its connection is not acknowledged, then everything becomes inauspicious. Pure devotional service is considered auspicious. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is mentioning that pure devotional service, one of the symptoms of pure devotional service, that is all auspicious. What is that all auspiciousness? Some examples are mentioned in the purport. What is all auspicious? That everything in the world starts performing what they need to do, including the rivers, the oceans, the trees, the sky. Everything is for Krishna's enjoyment. When it's connected with Krishna, their duty is performed beyond our imagination. It goes beyond our imagination, how it is performed. Just like it is described by the acharyas in their literatures. Then in the spiritual world, there is a personality whose name is Vrindadevi. And she decides everything, how to make arrangements for Krishna. Which flowers will bloom on the trees? Which kind of breeze will blow? Everything is absolutely controlled and made conducive for Krishna's enjoyment. It becomes auspicious when we acknowledge something's connection with Krishna. And as soon as you disassociate or disconnect anything with Krishna, it immediately, takshana, as is described, immediately comes under the purview of the material energy. So to see Krishna, we need some sukriti. In the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur is explaining that there are three kinds of sukritis. The first one is called Karmonmukhi, then Sukriti, which will derive from following the Vedic principles for fruited activities. The second one, and that gives us material sense gratification in this world. Then the next one is called Jnanonmukhi. If someone is into cultivation of real knowledge, he achieves liberation from that Sukriti. Different kinds of Sukriti give different kinds of result. And then there is a third Sukriti. That third Sukriti is called Bhakti Unmukhi, where it bestows devotion. So what is the Sukriti that actually bestows devotion? That is described as, another name for it is called Ajnata Sukriti. That means it's not fruitive activity. It doesn't come under the purview of Jnana either. But it is performing devotional service, some devotional service without even knowing it. Unknowingly. That attracts an element in us which is essential ingredient for progressing in bhakti. Just like, for example, in the Shikshastaka, second verse, Lord Chaitanya is mentioning, Nam Namakar Bhagudhani Sarva Saktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smaranina Kama. That when one chants the holy name of the Lord, there is no niyam, there is no rule. Many other things, fruitive activities, Sukriti will need to be, so many rules and regulations need to be followed. If one wants to practice Jnana Yoga, he has to follow some rules and regulations. Also Ashtanga Yoga, he has to. When one wants to chant the holy name, no rules and regulations, really. Time, place, circumstance, doesn't matter. But there is one rule that must be there to chant the holy name. There is only one rule. Very, very important rule. What is that rule? Very good. You have to have just faith to be able to chant. That's the only thing you need. Nothing else. If anyone we can see a spark of faith, that spark has to be fanned. When you fan that spark in someone else, so that he starts chanting the holy name of the Lord, then your position is automatically secured. If you see the last sentence of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, only by the propagation of the chanting of the holy name can we be immune to the from all the effects of the age of Kali. It doesn't say, by chanting only you will be immune. It says by propagating the chanting you will be immune. Because while chanting on our own, we may be offensive. But if you are sincerely trying to make someone take to the chanting the holy name, there is no question of offense in that endeavor. Therefore it says that someone who chants the holy name for a materialistic person who chants the holy name, meaning he has some faith but he is still materialistic. For a person who is materialistic and he chants the holy name, he can get dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But someone who is not materialistic but is a devotee and he chants the holy name, he gets Krishna prema, love for Krishna, which includes everything else. Yamladva chaparam labham manyate na adhikam tata. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, having attained this, he thinks there is nothing else to attain. That stage, which is the ultimate stage of love for Krishna, that stage is attained by pure Krishna nama, pure chanting of the holy name, which has been propagated by Mahaprabhu. This is the substance of the second paragraph of this purport. Srila Prabhupada is describing that nothing in the world is disconnected, everything is connected to the Lord. Similarly, Haridas Thakur says that there are only two actual, real spiritual substances in the material world. What are they? There are two spiritual things in the material world only. One is the holy name. And the other one? Yes, the jiva. The jiva and the holy name. These are the only two things in this world which are actually spiritual. Which that means that we are having a direct connection with Krishna. The jiva's sambandha, the jiva's relationship with Krishna can never be broken under any circumstance. You can become the greatest of materialists, but you can never, even if you wanted to, sever the ties that you are Jivere Swarupa Hoye Krishnir Nityadas. You cannot change that. No matter how hard you try, it is not possible. So, Krishna, we have an eternal, wonderful relationship with the greatest personality in the entire spiritual and material creation. There is no one superior to him. There is no one equal to him. Everyone is inferior to him. We have a direct connection with that person. So, that Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, to establish that connection has made it very easy. It's like when Narottam Das Thakur sings, and he's saying, Golokera Premanthana Harinama Sankirtan. That this Harinama Sankirtan has been imported from the spiritual world. We have only one problem about that. Ratina Janmilo Kenetai. Sometimes, you will be given a gift. And generally when you are given a gift, what should you be doing? Someone is offering you a gift, how should you react? Okay, you're very happy. And? Then what do you do when he's offering it?
Take it.
He's giving it to you. You have to be able to receive it. Receptacle is a very, very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Because freely we are giving, but who is receiving? The gift that Lord Chaitanya is giving is free. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't have any rules and regulations. We don't consider anything else. We just should be accepting it. And this is how loving reciprocation develops preeti. This loving reciprocation, this preeti is developed. That when someone is giving this gift, then we appreciate it, we are grateful for it, we thank the person, and we accept it. And here is the Lord coming with the holy name himself, and he is saying, here is my gift for you, please take it. My problem is I don't have the receptacle. I have still not become qualified even to receive the gift. Generally, we do not receive any, we do not require any qualification to receive a gift. A gift is given sometimes even though you don't deserve it. And especially in this case, that's the situation. We don't deserve the Lord's mercy by how we have, despite everything He has done for us. We don't deserve the mercy, but He has been causeless mercy. If we are sitting in this room, there is not one person in this room who has not been given this mercy. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here. And another good thing is that all of you have received the gift to some extent. Now we have to use the gift. When that's the next level. First is someone giving you the gift, you be grateful, you thank them, you take it, and now you have to use it. And what else is the last thing that you have to do after that? Okay, you share it, but what else do you have to do? What is the natural thing if someone gives you a gift? What do you want to do? And now do something in return. That is very natural. In the material world, of course, you know, once you start receiving gifts, giving gifts, many, many times, you know, just like these materialists, what they do is they form different, they create things which don't even exist, like Mother's Day and Father's Day. It didn't used to be existing, but it's all commercially oriented society in which they tried, after this, what we should target the people for their money for. So they buy gifts all the time and they try to get them. What is the other person think? Oh, damn it. Now I have to buy a gift for them. Is there any preeti in that? Any loving relationship that you can experience in that? No, you don't. Sometimes that can become a botheration. Sometimes it's done out of obligation because the person has given it to me, so now I have to give it. And initially, in spiritual life, when we receive a gift, yes, if we are humane, we should be obligated. So there is nothing wrong with it. But then, once we start realizing the value of the gift, and we appreciate so much what we have been given, then naturally this, we want to do something for that person, and we want to tell everybody, this is the greatest gift, and we want them to have it as well. There was one Brahmin, this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when he was from South India, and when he became very, very enamored by devotional service, and he saw Lord Chaitanya, he did not want to do anything. He did not want to remain home. He wanted to just leave and travel and be with the Lord. and said, "Please, O Lord, allow me to come with you." And the Lord said, "No, I would like you not to take sannyas. I would like you to stay where you are. And I want you to give this holy name to everybody. Amarau agya gurutanta guru hanatara yadesh. Yardek tarakaha Krishna upadesh. Will you give this upadesh to everyone?" And then he said, "Don't worry. You are thinking how you will stay without me. By just your service to me, I am connected to you." That's the first thing. That's one part here. And the first purport Srila Prabhupada mentions that we maintain our connection with the Lord because the Lord is omnipresent when we maintain our connection with Him by our services. When we perform our services, we maintain the connection with Him in that manner. Now, this Brahmana also was told by the Lord one more that kabuna badivo tumara vishayataram, you will by doing this never become bound by vishayataram, all sorts of sense gratificatory ideas will not be able to come into you. Punarabi ekane, what is it? Babe Mora Sangha, something like that. That again then you will attain my association. So the best way to remain fixed up in the service of the Lord and to one day come to the most important aspect of serving the Lord. If there is only one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the most important essence of the Bhagavad Gita, and we had to choose one verse from it, which verse would that be? Not really. That is just the beginning. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita Krishna wanted to give is only one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. The first thing is man mana. The mind should be on me. Man mana bhava mad bhakta. If you can't keep your mind on Krishna all the time, at least become my bhakta. Next. If you can't become my devotee, then madhyaji. Can you worship me at least? Start worshipping me, you will become my devotee. But the best thing that Krishna wants to see is, am I really, in my mind, constantly thinking of Him all the time? Whatever is in front of me does not matter. But am I able to see the connection with Him all the time? One thing helps in keeping the mind on Krishna by being focused on the purpose. When Arjuna said in the Bhagavad Gita that it's very difficult for me to control the mind, Krishna said, Abhyas and Vairagya. He said, practice it. Keep practicing, trying to keep the mind in me and be detached. That was the advice given. But there was another thing which helped focus his mind on Krishna. I have to do something that Krishna wants me to do. He had a purpose why he was fighting. Now the purpose was not his own reasons for fighting or not fighting. Now the purpose was simply to fight to please Krishna because he wants it. When you have the purpose in front of you all the time, There is very little chance that the mind, even though you are engaged in various activities, that the mind would wander elsewhere. So one has to fix one's mind on the purpose. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? That someone who knows the purpose behind the Vedas is better than the person who just knows the Vedas. He is higher. Then another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that can't remember Sanskrit right now, but it says something like, just like all the rivers flow to the ocean, similarly all our activities should be focused there to the Lord. That our thought pattern, our activities, our senses, everything is focused in that direction. Now suppose sometimes we get the fortune of doing that and sometimes we don't. What am I supposed to do? End the class. That if we keep the purpose in front of us, it becomes easier to focus the mind. The purpose should never be lost. And this is how a guru advises the disciple according to his situation. Some rules you will tell someone to follow, the another person will tell something completely opposite to follow, depending on his circumstance. What is he keeping forefront? How is he going to progress? That's the main objective. Some people progress in a very renounced environment. Some people you try and put in a very austere environment, their minds will always remain disturbed. Some people need some facility to be able to be a little bit mentally peaceful, to be able to concentrate on Krishna. Each person's psychophysical nature, their mode of material nature in which they are situated is different. As time goes on in Krishna consciousness, and we deal with many, many different kinds of people and people in different kinds of modes, we come to realize it doesn't take long at that time. Takes like within a split second you can know what to tell somebody, what to do according to his particular circumstance. This is the work or the kind of service that the guru does for the disciple. He knows the nature of the disciple and he instructs accordingly, but he keeps him focused on the purpose, never to lose that. Once you lose sight of the goal, then you don't know which direction to head. You can be knowing how very well to drive a car. You may be an expert driver. You may have fuel in the car. You may be completely rested and not tired while driving. All the prerequisites may be there, but if you don't know where you have to go and you are in the middle driving somewhere, you are still considered what? Lost. So, the key factor that takes us all the way back to Krishna is this purpose. Never ever lose sight of the purpose. And you will get there one day. 100%. It's only when we lose sight of the purpose that everything is finished. So in this age, we are very fortunate. We have the greatest personality, Srila Prabhupada's books available in the form of his Vani. Of course, his Vani is present in the form of many, many different things like is so thankful to all the robust disciples who recorded everything he did. We cannot thank them enough for making this Vani available, which will be preserved for the next 10,000 years, Srila Prabhupada said. This will be the religion. And we are so fortunate to be part of that. And we are also so fortunate that we have been given the only method, the most appropriate method to purify our lives and go back to Godhead, chanting of the holy names. And we have been given the association so really no one has any excuse why they cannot make back to Godhead in this lifetime. So there, we just have to be creating ourselves a receptacle to receive the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all the parampara and the acharyas. And if we just receive it, don't resist anything, then we will not feel unfortunate like the earth is doing. You will feel always the lotus feet of your spiritual master and Krishna on your head. Not one second you will feel like you are alone in this world, struggling, trying to get out of this material world. Especially when there are unlimited number of personalities, great personalities, willing to guide you and help you all the time. So, we should take this guidance and accept it in our lives and try and keep focused. There are many distractions in the world, but if we keep our focus like we are all doing in preaching and spreading this movement, no Maya can touch anybody. Lord Chaitanya himself guarantees that. One time my Guru Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada this question. He said, in the course of preaching, we come across so many undesirable elements. And the Vedas say, you just look at the face of a person without tilak, and you have to then look at the sun to purify your eyes. If you look at how contaminating things can get, we go everywhere. Previously, we used to be able to say Hare Krishna or Namaste. Nowadays, they put their hand out, and you have to touch them. If you look at the Vedic style of it, touching a sinful person, you will get some reactions for sure. On the other hand, we have got to be merciful on the conditioned souls. Not shaking their hands at that time is, in that society, an offense or a little bit strange. So in order to keep people favorable, sometimes we may do these things. But you see, in all these things, how to interact with the people, how to not get contaminated, the ultimate objective, if it is kept as for preaching, then you may stay protected, but it should not be more than necessary. I recently got a statistic about one of the biggest reasons why devotees later on fall down. They take the devotional life very wonderfully. They carry on for many years. One of the biggest reasons for fall down that they found, almost 99% of the fall downs have one thing in common. What is that? Lack of faith. No, they have faith.
Offenses.
Yeah. What else? Not many people are trying to be too offensive, it's just they fall down. Yeah? Association. They may be looking like they're in association all the time, then all of a sudden gone. Yeah? Okay, they get in touch with other people, they try and preach. There is one thing it says. There's a mechanical thing. it gradually creeps in. But it's not there in the beginning. There is one thing that they do is very harmful. Yeah.
Because they are not preaching.
Oh, they may be preaching. They may be preaching. Believe me, there are many people who are really preaching and all of a sudden gone. My Guru Maharaj described this as something like, you know, when you have a house and it gets infested with termites. So, outside you can't tell. Inside, everything starts to become hollow. Even the faith and everything starts getting eroded. And all of a sudden, one day the house goes. So, you can maintain the externals as a devotee for a very, very long time. But inside is getting all hollow. There is one that 99% of the fall downs is from one thing. Believe it or not. A very simple rule. Eating that which is not prasad. Thinking that I am preaching, so let me just buy something from anywhere, and I'll just say, Sri Vishnu, it's done. How much love and devotion went in there to say, Sri Vishnu? Yeah. Generally, being very lax in this principle has caused most of the fallouts. It's to be so careful, previously, devotees. Now I see, it's not even there. Anything is because of the rat race. Sometimes we try and make things very quick. It can have its effects. So be very careful. We have to be. That we don't go into that arena of slacking up some of these very important. These are small principles, but very, very important for us to keep to our level. The mind will become wicked. Visheira anna khaila dusta khaila man. The mind will become dusta, it will become wicked. The very mind that once used to focus on the Lord, when now you try, it doesn't give you that focus. You start wandering away on sense gratification, other lesser things. So protect, out of all the things you have to protect, one thing very carefully, and that is the mental. The mind takes us to Krishna, the mind takes us to heaven, the mind takes us to hell. So, if we keep the mind focused on Krishna, we cannot fall. And the best way to keep the mind focused on Krishna is to preach. But do not, while taking the excuse of preaching, not follow some of the rules while out there. You can easily make some arrangements to take something, some prasad with you, and not that you just buy something out of the shop in this area because you're preaching, it's okay. Lord Chaitanya will protect me. No, Lord Chaitanya also wants you to realize, what did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, was always praying. The only thing I'm afraid of is falling to Maya. Prabhupada was saying, praying constantly, please don't let me fall to Maya. We'll stop here. Any comments or questions? A few minutes for it. Yes, go.
How do we do offenseless chanting?
How do we do offenseless chanting? What is the one offense that creates all other offenses? Deal with that first. Sorry? Yes. Just deal with inattentive chanting. In short, that will be the answer to everything else. And if the mind is if the mind keeps on wandering, then can you focus it back on your own strength? No. We can't do it on our own strength. We will never get out of this material world on our own strength. So what do we have to do? Ravan had all the strength that he had, and the monkeys had, and he had all the modern weaponry. And the monkeys had only boulders and stones, but they won. Why? In the fight against Ravan, they won. Because the Lord was on their side. It's not the weapons that make us win, it's not our personal efforts that make us win over this, it's only the mercy. our sincerity and service mood that can actually protect us. So along with everything that we do, we should be very careful. It is not us who have accomplished something in this world. The little bit of devotion, service, or whatever Shraddha we have in our heart, we are still so much dependent on the Lord even for that. It can be gone in no time if you are not careful. So pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. It says like a child crying for the mother, so feeling helpless. I can't do it myself. I can't chant purely by my own efforts. Please help me. So it should be like a crying effort when you actually chant it and trying to be attentive, at the same time feeling helpless that my mind is still keeps on wandering. And when remember that part of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Arjuna is asking this question, that something within me is forcing me as if with against my will to do things which I know are good, not good for me. What is that thing? And the identification given by Krishna is Kama Yasya Krodha Yasya Rajaguna Samudbhava Mahasana Mahapapa Vidyana. This is lust, and which later on transforms into wrath and greed and all that thing. That is the biggest sinful enemy of the material world. So this lust has occupied strategic positions in our existence. It has occupied our mind. It has occupied our intelligence. It has occupied all our senses. The enemy, if you are in a very strategic position somewhere, you get an advantage. But right now Maya is in the advantage because we have already given them the place of residence on all these things. So if